a children's church and junior church leaders. Kids can head out. You've got about a half an hour, sorry, but that's where we're at today, if that. Can you hear the reverb? In light of where we're at, time-wise, not that what I have to share is significant, but I would encourage you to maybe grab something where you can write some stuff down, because we're going to simply highlight a few things. And if you're hoping to not go further than what you hear in this brief time, you're going to minimize what you're going to be able to draw from what God's Spirit would like us to receive from the Word. In God's kindness, and I do mean that, Eric shared what verse he was going to be sharing and asked Steve to put on the overhead this morning, and it's actually the passage that we're going to be looking at. It's Psalm 107. And in bringing your attention to Psalm 107, I'll get us started, and then I'm going to have a word of prayer. And again, I'm working out of the New Living Translation this morning, since it's such a long passage. I just want you to get the basic gist of it. But I'm going to start out by reading verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 107. And my encouragement is we're going to set it in its context, but if you leave it there and don't bring it to your own heartfelt personal application, you're missing God's intent for why He provided His Word. But listen to the first couple of verses of Psalm 107. Give thanks to Yahweh, that personal, covenantal making, covenantal keeping, involved, proactive, passionately pursuing, the caring, loyal, faithful God. Give thanks to Yahweh, for He is good. His chesed, that word appears some six times in this psalm, that amazing, some translations say mercy, some translations say grace, some translations say love, some translations say covenant loyalty, some translations say everlasting love, steadfast love. His faithful love endures forever. Not endures for as long as I think it does. Not endures for as long as I think I deserve it to. Not endures for as long as the circumstances look like they're going a certain way. His faithful love endures forever. The New Living Translation in verse 2 goes with a question. Has Yahweh redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others He has saved you from your enemies. For He has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. And so in this psalm, you have this beginning anthem of praise, if in fact you know God in a personal way. And then I would like you to turn over to the very last verse of Psalm 107. The very last verse, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, and it starts out by saying, those who are wise. The New American Standard that I spend a lot of time in, basically it gives a question to verse 43. Its question basically is asking, are you wise? Are you a person who can actually absorb what's being said and not just intellectually incorporate it, but are you a person that can take what the psalm is talking about, you can understand what the psalm is talking about, and you can personally make it a part of your life. Back to the New Living Translation, those who are wise will take this all to heart. They will see in our history the chesed of Yahweh. He is a personally involved, working God. If you would quickly join me in prayer, and again, with no fault of anyone, I am thankful for how the morning has unfolded. We're going to give about a 10-minute summary of this passage. Lord, bring glory to yourself by changing me. Use your word by your spirit to do what is necessary because you are trustworthy. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to break this down, and it's not rocket science. It really isn't. It's an amazing psalm, but it breaks down with about four different pictures. And so let me give you those four pictures real quick. The four portraits, truthfully, that God satisfies a seeking soul. If I really turn to the Lord, He'll satisfy. And the first portrait is in verses 4 through 9. The second portrait is in verses 10 through 16. The third portrait is in verses 17 to 22. And the fourth portrait is in verses 23 to 32. And then basically verses 33 toward the end says, you know what? God's an amazing God and His ways aren't our ways. But if you think about who He is, are you wise? Are you willing to really let it affect you inside? Because if you do, you can know and experience the loving kindness, the steadfast love, the enduring love of that personal God, Yahweh. And within each of those four segments, let me break them down in a way. So in each of those one, two, three, four segments, what starts out is a problem. A very real problem, a very personal problem, a very two life-connected problem. The problem comes, and the next thing is a prayer. The third element is we see God's provision in answer to that prayer. And the fourth element is praise. So in the first segment, you can say it's either wanderers in distress or travelers in distress in verses 4 through 9. The problem is found in verses 4 and 5. The prayer is in the first part of verse 6. God's provision is in the latter part of verse 6 and verse 7. And then you have this refrain of prayer that I want to bring to your attention, and we'll see it in each segment. Verses 8 and 9. Let them, those who have experienced God's answer to prayer and God's provision, let them praise Yahweh for His great love and for all His wonderful deeds to them. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with great things. The second segment, the problem is expressed in verses 10 through 12. The prayer is in the first part of verse 13. God's provision is in the latter part of verse 13 and verse 14. And then again, you have the praise that let them praise God for His great love and for all His wonderful deeds to them. And verse 16 has that personal application of how He specifically met their need. The third segment in verses 17 to 22, the problem is expressed in verses 17 and 18. The prayer is in the first part of verse 19. God's provision is in the latter part of 19 and verse 20. And again, you have that anthem of praise in verses 21 and 22. The fourth segment is the problem is stated in verses 23 through 27. You have the prayer in the first part of verse 28. You have God's provision in the latter part of 28 through verse 30. And then again, you have this anthem of praise in verses 31 and 32. So here's the picture. In its context, dispersed Israel is being redeemed by God. And they are recognizing this covenant, faithful, covenant, loyal God who has not stopped his purposes. And so in redeeming them, one picture he creates is the lost and wearied traveler. In the second segment, he creates this picture of someone who's in a dungeon of prison. The third segment is someone who's basically sick. And the fourth one deals with sailors lost at sea. In a quick way, here's where I think the psalm wants to take us for Thanksgiving and where we can go on a personal level. Independent of my circumstances, independent of my feelings, independent of the weather, independent of the uncertainty of our lives, independent of the chaos of our surroundings, independent of a world falling apart, am I willing to say, give thanks to Yahweh, to Jesus, to you, my personal Lord and Savior. You are good. Am I willing to recognize I really don't bring anything to the table? What I am depending upon, what I am relying upon, what I am trusting in is His faithful love, His enduring love, His mercies, His grace, His steadfast. It's given so many different translations because that word contains so much truth, and it's emotional truth that is meant to impact us significantly. Has that happened? And am I proclaiming that? Has He redeemed you? Is this thing we call a personal God and a personal relationship through the cross work of Jesus Christ, is that real? And if so, what's the response? I got something to share. You know, I could be a lost traveler and wanderer, and in essence, that's who Jeff Millay was. And there came a time when you recognize that you are totally incapable of saving yourself and you cry out to God. And because of who He is, and because of the character of who He is, He provides. And when I recognize that, what's my logical declaration? My logical declaration, in one sense, may be similar to yours, different than yours, but there is no doubt for all of us. It says, let them praise the Lord for His great love and for all the wonderful deeds He has done to them. And then I can be more specific in regard to how God's great love has manifested itself in my own personal life. I don't know about you, but a lot of times life is feeling like you're in a prison. It's dark. It's confusing. The truth is you feel overwhelmed. The clouds are there. There is no hope. You have no future. You question whether you have any purpose, any value. Why am I here? There's a personal God. He's real. He is amazing. Am I willing to cry out to Him? He wants to provide, and He does provide. And I can declare praise like a lot of other people, and at the same time, I can see how He personally meets my needs. And that's basically where the psalm is taking us. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. You have an insert in your bulletin, whether you join us in the next hour or not. My encouragement is take time this week to look at that insert. Take time this week to think about how I can praise God, how I can thank God. Maybe at Thanksgiving, as you're sitting there as a smaller family than maybe usual, you might just share, okay, you know what? Would you be willing to share about this particular one? Would you be willing? We're not trying to embarrass anyone. We're not trying to shame anyone. What we're trying to do is magnify this personal, amazing, involved, shockingly phenomenal God. Why does He love me so? Why does He care? Why does He bestow mercy on me? I don't know, but I just want to say thank you. And there are different categories in that insert in your bulletin. And so maybe you could say, you know what, which one would you like to talk about? If you're a mom, you could say, would you like to thank God for your mom? We'll let you do that at the Thanksgiving dinner. You can thank God for your mom for a lot of things. Do you need some help? And I give you reasons. But the thought is, take that and utilize it. If you join us in the next hour, we're going to incorporate that. I am bringing it to an end because of time, but here's what I want you to think about. And I like personally, a lot of times in the original languages, we don't know if it's a declaration or a question. We've got Hebrew words, we've got Greek words, and we look at the context. Personally, I like the way the New American Standard puts it, and that is basically asking if you're wise. Are you a person who can absorb what's being said? Are you a person that can absorb and understand who God is and how He operates? Are you a person that sees no matter where you're at, He genuinely cares? He wants you to come to Him, cry out to Him, pray to Him, and because He is, as James would say, a good God. And He is a giving God, and He is a generous God, and every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Because of the nature of who He is, are you willing to trust Him and let Him change your life? That would make Thanksgiving real, and that would make our giving of thanks genuine. So whether you're His child or you're not sure, let's make sure that we don't just go through the motions. We aren't fake. We aren't artificial. But we are real and genuine and authentic with a very real, genuine, and personal God. Allow the music group to come up and minister to us in this closing song. And then Gary will have a closing prayer.